If you just want to leave your Bibles open at, if you've got a Bible, if you haven't one, someone may pass you one. But we're going to be looking at John chapter 11. Just the silences of God. Kind of looking at this 400 gap from Malachi coming to Matthew, where it's a big news flash that the king has come. And I don't want to spend too much time on this 400 years, but I've been thinking about people who really get lonely and are on their own, and Christmas can be a really silent time for a lot of people. And I think tonight is all about the silences of God. And what does he do in our lives when it's silent and we can't hear from him? What will God do in that 400 year period of silence? So this is the reason why. So before the big news flash in Matthew that the king has arrived, he's looking at God's preparation time during that 400 years, but God preparing us and God preparing others around Lerwick and all over Shetland and in other places. God's always preparing. And even though sometimes it seems like he's silent, he's always there and he's always doing something. He's always accomplishing something or getting us ready for something. I find this really fascinating. Next week, we're going to be starting off with one of the carols, one of the original carols of Christmas. Over the Christmas period, we're going to be looking at four original carols. And the first one is Mary's Song. And so next week, it's titled A Merry Christmas, anyway. And then at night, it's the great David's going to be speaking, and I can't remember the title, The Great Benedictus. Sorry. It is. It's Zacharias. It's the great Benedictus. So we're going to be looking at the four original carols over that Christmas period. And I just need to read this to you. It's quite funny. It says, a man and his wife were having some problems at home and were giving each other the silent treatment. Suddenly the man realized that the next day he would need his wife to wake him at 5 a.m. for an early morning business flight. Not wanting to be the first to break the silence and lose, he wrote on a piece of paper, please wake me at 5 a.m., and he left it where he knew that she would find it. The next morning, the man woke up only to discover it was 9 o'clock, and he had missed his flight. Furious, he was about to go to see why his wife hadn't wakened him when he noticed a piece of paper by the bed, and on the paper it said, it's 5 a.m., wake up. Men are not equipped for these kind of contests. Oh, boy. Period of 400 years when God didn't speak by a prophet. There's just a few interesting facts about this. Because when we look at the book of Malachi, it closes with a nation that were kind of anchoring into idolatry and worshipping idols. They were really a long way off. And yet, as soon as we look at Matthew, we find a nation who are worshipping God. They're hungry for the Messiah, and they're out to destroy every hint of idolatry. So what on earth was God doing in this 400 years? The book of Malachi ends with the Jews seeking to be part of a pagan culture. And then when we get to Matthew, the Jews have rioted. They're against Herod because he's creating buildings and a pagan culture and statues and images. And they're really against all this. When we leave Malachi, there's not one mention of the Messiah. And when we come to Matthew, there's an incredible interest in the Messiah. When you leave Malachi, looking back at the Babylonian, the Persian Medo, kind of that reign, these empires, where Judah is taken into captivity. When we get to Matthew, the Romans are in charge. This is what I find interesting. When you close Malachi, there's no synagogues. It's just talking about the main place for worship. When we open Matthew, the synagogues in every Jewish town. 70 in Jerusalem. Wow. So God is preparing things. So first, when we open the New Testament, the book of Matthew, we discover a totally different atmosphere and a different world. This Roman world, they've spread all over the length and the breadth of the civilized world. In Daniel, I know in precepts we're having an absolute ball. I know that there's one or two people who I think if I let them loose, we'd never stop them. I think what we're discovering just through the book of Daniel and the other groups too, it's really, really good. Alexander the Great died in 323 BC. He died around about 32, 33 years of age. He drunk himself to death, according to history, in the prime of his life, and he was grieving because he had no more worlds to conquer. After his death, his empire was kind of split. He had no heir. His son had been murdered. And so there were no one to inherit the empire of Alexander. Just listen to this. God used this period of Greek rule, it's very, very similar, or more or less, to what Gary had said earlier, to prepare the world for the gospel. A universal language instead of hundreds, a road system so you could travel anywhere, and soldiers would be stationed all over the roads because it was safe to travel. And I know all that, but this is there was safety on the seas because they kind of eliminated pirates. So what was God doing during that 400 years? What an incredible preparation time. And regarding listening, it's the worst thing when you're speaking to someone and they're not listening. It's even worse when you want to hear from someone and they're not talking. Times in life when God seems to be speaking to us all the time. When you feel really, really close and we're walking with God, and then there are them times when we feel like we're crawling on his belly and God's not hearing and we can't hear from him. And they're the difficult times. Listen to Job. I cry to you for help and you don't answer me. I stand and you only look at me. Then King David, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, I find no rest. And I'm sure that each and every one of us could actually identify with David and also with Job. You know what I love about Job? Job is one of my favorite characters. But 40 chapters, he doesn't hear from God in all of his pain and all that he's going through. I know sometimes you and I can maybe identify with Job a little bit. And you and I go through some tough times in life. But when you look at Job and what he went through, 40 chapters, he just kept getting it up to God. He kept complaining. Instead of depressing, he kept expressing it. 40 chapters. And when you look at what he went through physically, emotionally, spiritually, his family, his stock, everything were taken from him. And God were in complete control. Where were God? Where were he in that time? He were just listening. And he were loving Job. And in these times that you and I go through, the Lord has promised to be near. He doesn't always speak. But he just assures us of his presence. I'm with you. I'm with you in this. And I think they're really close times and they're special times. That Job, 40 chapters, never heard a word from God. And then you'll find later on in the book of Job, God just breaks in and he breaks through. And he does that with us. I'm going to come on to that in a little moment of why is God so silent. These are the other whys. Why is it that absence makes the heart grow fonder, but familiarity breeds contempt? Why is water so much more refreshing when we're really thirsty? Why am I always never satisfied with what I have, but always longing for more? God's silence is how it feels, but it is not how it really is. It kind of, I believe, that when you and I are really going through the thick of it and we've kind of lost the whole presence of God and we've lost his voice, we've lost a sense of who he is, and we're really going through the mill, sometimes his silence is to draw out that real faith. And kind of pulling it out from us, that we trust in him more and more. There's a longing for him. And again, we find that here in the book of Job. It's the mourning that will know the joy of comfort. It's in being hungry and thirsty that we'll be satisfied. It's the emptiness, or we feel empty, and in the silence, it kind of makes us knock. We're always knocking on God's door. For those who live in a noisy world, silence is a welcome sound. But it's the times in most of our lives when silence, it's kind of not welcomed. And especially when God is silent. Because really, folks, it's an awful thing, isn't it? It's not easy to take. I'm just going to share something with you. I'm sure that we can all share things like this. The time in our lives when God were really close and we could hear him and we could walk with him and he revealed things and God became our best friend. As soon as we walk up on a morning, we're talking to him and he's talking to us. All through the day at work or whatever we're doing, we're there with him. And in our lives, all of a sudden, it seems like it's just gone. That whole relationship with our God, our best friend, is totally gone. And he seems completely and utterly silent. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves on our knees and on our belly. What am I doing wrong? What have I done wrong? Where are you, God? Where are your best friend? I think we've all gone through stuff like that. It's for a reason. God is deepening us. In the years or periods of silence, he's doing something really, really special. And I want us to look at John, at John's Gospel, chapter 11. Let's just read just one or two things here. It says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany." Now, Bethany, we're near the Mount of Olives. It's known as the town of Mary. There's four Marys in the Bible. There's Mary Magdalene, Mary the wife of Cleopas, Jesus' mom and Martha's sister. It says, "It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.'" I want you to notice here, they didn't ask him to heal, they just informed him. They didn't tell him what to do, and they didn't tell him how to do it either. They just said, "Lord, behold, he who you love is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." So in other words, there's a purpose here. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Do you know something? I think that's really great. John is letting his readers know that even though there's a purpose in this, and even though there's a delayed timing, that Jesus is not going to rush, he says, now Jesus loved him. So just when it seems as though it's all silent within our lives, we know that he loves us and know there's a purpose in it. And so when he heard, verse 6, that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Jesus really loved Mary and Martha. Wow. Just regarding distance, Jesus is about 20 miles away from Lazarus and Mary and Martha. It's round about, but I've worked it out, it could be 5 or 6 days. By the time somebody gets a message to him, by the time he gets back, you're looking at 4 days, and then he stayed there an extra 2 days. So it's quite a gap. And even though Jesus knew all that were going off and they really needed him, he decided to stay there for 2 more days. You'll find that this word sick is a sickness that leads to death. It's really talking about a terminal illness. And it's strange sometimes when you and I kind of go through things and we really need a word from God, is silent. Just like it was with Job. God, when I need you, why are you so silent? And if you read through them 40 chapters, you'll find Job really, really crying out to God. He is Jesus and he's loving this family, but he remains silent. And he does that with you and I at times. All that you and I need to know is that he's doing something incredible, because he reveals to us how we respond. How we respond when it's hard and when it's difficult and when I don't get God. And when I'm crawling on my belly and I need you to come and speak. And sometimes he leads us through all these responses. Responses of doubt, responses of frustration, responses because I've really got down and depressed with this. All kinds of responses. And he leads us through. And what he does, he reveals just what we're like inside when it's really difficult. It's as though, I feel like sometimes a tube of toothpaste where, you know, it's just, let me just show you that the dregs in life. And let me reveal to you in my love, not just what we need to deal with within, but I'm going to do something incredible. I'm going to reveal more of me to you. It's just going through these times. And here we, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Jesus knows from a distance what is going on. And he remains where he is for an extra 2 days. Verse 11, it says these words. These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him." And his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. And then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go." These 2 more days in our lives, things that you and I go through. And it's often when we've gone through times of frustration, it's often when we've kind of been angry with God and everything kind of comes out, we're getting to that place of real trust, and we get to a place like Martha. And I really believe that you can do this. And you'll find here in this passage that Jesus actually challenged them. Do you really believe this? Do you really believe this? I've been looking at sometimes what blockages, what kind of things really block us from God. Because as God leads us through things and these times of silences within our lives where we know that he's here, but he's not kind of speaking to us, and he begins to draw out from within us the real faith, the real holding on to God. I wonder what they were feeling. I wonder what Mary and Martha were actually feeling about Jesus knowing and their brother actually dying. Let me just read this to you. This is what somebody had learnt about God going through a really, really tough time. And he actually was ministered to by God through reading John chapter 11. He says to him, it was as though God had just completely shut himself off. This guy had examined himself before God. He says, God, what have I done wrong? If he found it within himself that he hadn't done anything wrong. He just couldn't get back with God. He couldn't hear God. And God really spoke to him through this. And he said to him, I'm going to reveal myself to you in a far greater, deeper way. And this is what he was doing here with Mary and Martha and bringing Lazarus back from the dead. He was just demonstrating more of his glory, more of his power, more of his grace, and more of who he was. But this is what this guy said. He said, you were exactly right. If I had come, your brother would not have died. You know that I could have healed him because you have seen me heal many, many times. If I had come when you asked me to, I would have healed him, but you would have never known any more about me than you already know. I knew you were ready for a greater revelation of me than you have ever known in your life. And I wanted you to come to know that I am the resurrection and the life. My refusal and my silence was not a rejection. It was an opportunity for me to disclose to you more of me than you have ever known. So the silences of God. Listen to Matthew chapter 9, Jairus' daughter. Acts chapter, I forgot the chapter of Acts, but Stephen. And Jesus said that these people are asleep. What I'm trying to get at is this, is that sometimes you and I can look at our situation so, so different to what he does. They looked at this whole situation as really, really sad. Jesus looked at this situation to reveal more of him and more of his glory. And I've latched onto that more than anything else over these last 10 years. Lord, will you help me to see how you see this? Because all I can see at the moment is sadness. Because I'm frustrated. And you know that I want more of you. So where are you? And I reckon that we've all been in that situation. And looking at this and looking through other Bible passages and looking at all the past experience of our lives, he is going to reveal more and more and more of himself to us during these times. He's just preparing us for greater things. I don't think Martha or Mary would have ever even thought that Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. I don't think they'd even thought about that. Well, I know that, Lord, you're going to raise him on the last day. Yeah, but Martha, do you really believe what I'm saying to you? And I think sometimes we limit God. Hudson Taylor, obviously I think it's China Inland Mission. Hudson Taylor was some guy. He was some man. And he went through a period in his life. I think he was really, really burnt up and he was really burnt out. And he said, there was a time in my life that I couldn't pray. I couldn't read my Bible. I couldn't witness. I could hardly walk. I could hardly do anything. The only thing that I could do was trust, because God, it seemed as though he wasn't talking to me, but I knew he was near. A few years ago, I went through burnout. And it took me about 2 years to recover from that. And God, before that, he was like my best mate. I would walk with him. I would talk with him. And life was fantastic. Life was incredible. I was out witnessing. I was an evangelist in Leeds. I was in prison work. I was doing all kinds of stuff. It was just wonderful. You know what it's like when life's incredible with God. But sometimes the reality of life hits home and it kicks in and difficulties come. And I remember it was Dubai. I totally burnt out. And it took me 2 years to recover. And I think it must have been the most difficult, horrific time, because I'd felt as though I were out of sync with God. But during that time, he revealed himself to me more than any other time. And it became a precious time. It was a hard time, but it was a precious time. And I reckon for Martha and for Mary, It must have been a real difficult time, knowing that Jesus could have done something even from a distance. The miracle worker, they've maybe heard about his miracles or even seen his miracles. Oh Lord, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. But to Jesus, that didn't matter because he could see beyond that. And folks, I think what I'm trying to get over is this, is that whatever you're going through, it's one of them silent, dry, dark times. He knows what's ahead, and he knows where he's taking us, and he knows where we are, and he loves us right in the thick of it all. And for the reason that he's going to reveal more and more of himself to us during them times. And if you're going through them times, don't throw in the towel. He's got great things ahead. Jesus does not view our situation as we view it. Jesus saw the whole situation as an opportunity for God's glory to be revealed, while other people around only saw a sad situation. On my wall years ago, I had a plaque, and maybe some of you would know this. It's called the Weaver's Shuttle. Has anybody heard of that? Yeah, Bill's heard of that, Aubrey. Let me just read it to you. It's a poem, someone gave it to me, and it's one of them things that I have never, ever forgot. This is what it says. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colours. He works steadily. Oftentimes he weaves sorrow and I in foolish pride. Forget he sees the upper and I the underside. And not till the loom is silent and the shuttle ceases to fly, shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern that he has planned. And it's just remembering that when God is silent, you can still rest assured that he knows what you're going through, and he also knows how your situation will end for your good and for his glory. To be honest, there's such a lot that we could actually look into this passage. We could spend weeks on it. I just want you to read with me from verse 38 of John chapter 11. Jesus, therefore, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Remove the stone." And Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "But Lord, by this time there's going to be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days." Now, it were in that Jewish custom that they believed that when the spirit left the body, that person might actually come back to life. If it went past 4 days, then forget it. It were never going to happen. So again, the word of God is just full of detail. And then Jesus said to her, verse 40, "Did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And so they removed the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you hear me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people standing around, I said it, that they may believe that you did send me." And when he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Three words: "Lazarus, come forward." And Jesus speaks right into the tomb, right into death, right to the other side. And he speaks to Lazarus, just calling his name, calling this man. And Lazarus comes out. And he comes out bound. Verse 44, "He who had died came forth bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" Jesus is demonstrating his power over death. Hallelujah. Over death itself, the last enemy. But this is what I'm getting at. This is Mary and Martha. Put yourself in their position. It looks like they're in a totally a place that they, I don't think they could get their head around. They've already called for Jesus to come, and he's not coming. Not in their time. So all that they're going through an horrific time. Oh Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. In other words, you're a bit too late. And sometimes in our silences, in our difficulty, the things that we struggle with, is it's kind of like, Lord, I'm just going to throw it all in because I've had enough. You should have been here now. Why didn't you meet me like 2 months ago or 2 weeks ago? Why now? And I think, folks, all I'm trying to get over is God knows what he's doing. He's patient and he's loving. And he's getting us to a place, he's moving us on. Again, when you think about what he did, when it looks impossible, when it feels as though I'm never going to get through this, and nobody else knows what I'm going through. And then he comes. And he brings life and he brings hope. And he begins to answer prayer. So Martha and Mary see their brother coming out of the tomb. Wow. So all of a sudden, they're thinking, they're knowing of Jesus being big, but now it becomes massive. He can actually do this. He's done this. Something that I never thought he could do. So when you and I are going through the difficulty, the trials, the silences of God, all of a sudden he's going to bring us to a place that it's like, wow, God. Wow, Lord. I didn't think you could do that. Never thought you were powerful enough to do that. And that's the whole reason why I think God allows us to go through difficult times and then periods of silence, helping us work through to get to a place where he reveals himself to us in a way that just blows our mind. And that's what he did here. It's beautiful. Times of preparation, 400 years looking at what he did. I think it's Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. When the time was right, God sent forth his Son. So these periods of silence, when it seems like God's silent, and it seems like we can't hear from him, number one, check yourself. Make sure there's nothing that is a blockage. Make sure there's nothing in our lives that is kind of stopping him. Because he talks about if there's iniquity in your heart, I'm not going to hear. It's not. I want to save you from just thinking you can live your life how you want and then expect me just to come and keep bailing you out at all times. It's after that relationship. But if God is silent in your life, he's going to reveal himself in an incredible way at a perfect time in your life. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you know us all here tonight. And you know where we've been. You know what we've gone through when nobody else does. You know, Lord, when it's been tough and when it's been difficult and when we've cried out to you and it seems like, Lord, you've not answered. It's felt like you've not been there because you've been silent. And yet, Lord, as we look back, you've revealed yourself to us, Lord, in a way that has been incredible. You've revealed yourself, Lord, to us in a way that almost kind of cancels out the difficulty that we've gone through because you know what you're doing. But Lord, we want to say to you tonight, we really don't like them times of silence because we want to walk with you. And we want to be with you and we want to hear from you. But Lord, we know that in these times of silence, you prepare us. You do great things. you've promised never to leave us nor forsake us. It's just that, Lord, we lose the sense of your presence, but we know that you're with us. And so tonight, Lord, what we want to say to you is we trust you. And we trust you totally and completely. You know the people that we've been praying for. You know the situations that we're in. We know that, Lord, that we don't hear from you regarding the people that we've been praying about, but Lord, we want to tell you again that we trust you. And we thank you for this beautiful passage that we've been reading in John chapter 11 of you doing something way beyond that we're in their thinking and in their thoughts, and we know that that's what you do with us. You bring us into such a place of belief and faith, and you do mighty things and miraculous things that it's never even entered into our mind or into our thoughts. So, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us day by day. We thank you for your promises. We thank you, Lord, that you're the one who can do so much more above all that we can ask or even think, according to the power that is at work in us. So, Lord, tonight we thank you that you call us to trust in you with all of our heart, not to lean on our own understanding, but in all of our ways to acknowledge you, knowing then that you will direct our path. And we pray that, Lord, help us not to fret when we don't hear from you, because we know that you're preparing us for something great. We trust you, Lord, and we thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen.